if we as a leader can't realize where we are, how we got where we are, because none of us figured this out on our own. We all had somebody that kicked us in the butt, chewed our tail, forced us to do something we didn't want to do. And maybe we are that person for somebody else.
Yeah.
And if they didn't have that first job chopping cotton, maybe we're the ones that got to give it to them. All right, everybody. This is Nick Biddle. Welcome to Nick Biddle's Life and Leadership Podcast. I'm here again with Tarina. How are you doing today?
I'm great.
Good. So last time we talked about the five aspects of listening and what that looks like and how we can use those in our day and one of the questions you were asking me, it was, you know, have my workshops changed since you used to attend? You've attended.
Yeah, it's been probably a couple of years, but I have, yes.
Yeah, you've sat in the back of some of those workshops.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And so, you know, have they changed? I don't think they have. One of the challenges that I have is I don't follow a script.
Which is amazing. Amazing, Nick.
Well, but it gets me in trouble because I'll have a client that'll bring me in and sometimes we don't follow everything on the note sheet because mm-hmm. I want to go where the audience wants to go. And I learned a long time ago, if I drive the agenda, that it feels rehearsed and it doesn't feel like the audience is in control. And when the audience is in control of the agenda, they're more engaged. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
And so one of the things that I do, and it doesn't matter if I'm doing it, and if I'm doing a keynote, then I'm following not a script, but I'm making certain points because I was hired specifically for that keynote to bring these points across. But if I'm doing a workshop on leadership and I've got a bunch of field foremen or leaders in a room, maybe in a different industry, you know, I'm gonna ask the question, you know, what is the biggest struggle that you're having with those you lead? What's the biggest struggle? I don't want to pretend that I know. Now, do I know?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I always know. I mean, because I've done it so much. Oh, I know what they're dealing with.
Yes.
But if I say, guys, here are the top seven issues you're having with those you lead, then I'm going to hear, what do you know? You don't, you hillbilly, you don't know. You're from Corn, Oklahoma. You know, I'm in Seattle or San Francisco or Boston or Detroit. And you don't know what it's like over here, but it's just people.
Yeah.
It's just people. And one of the things that I often, you know, and the things that are on that list is lack of work ethic, lack of initiative, no communication, no drive, no accountability, sense of entitlement. Those are the things that are on that list, and those are the things we talk about, and then we will break down those topics, and I will share some insights, some ideas, some best practices or wisdom on those topics, and how to develop that next generation. And sometimes it's not the next generation. Sometimes it's the old guys that are having trouble changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will break those down, and I'll add in a little bit of humor and some stories, and I'll make those ideas stick.
Mm-hmm.
Too often, I get some pushback because a lot of these field foremen will say, "Well, I didn't have this trouble. You know, no one had to teach me this stuff, Nick. I was born knowing it." And that's just not true.
Yeah.
And one of the questions that I will often ask is, you know, what's the first job you ever had you got paid to do? Once I get pushback and once I've given a few ideas and techniques to these leaders on how to develop somebody and I get pushback, then I'll ask that question. What's the first job you ever got paid to do? I don't care how old you were. And then I just open it up to the room. And it's amazing what I'll hear. But what's the first job you ever had that you got paid to do?
Babysitting.
Okay. And how old were you?
Probably 12.
12?
Yeah.
And you were probably a very responsible 12-year-old.
I don't know.
I bet you were. You're probably a great babysitter.
Well, that and chopping cotton was all at the same time.
Chopping cotton. What did those jobs teach you?
Oh, time management. Work ethic. Like, the harder you work, the more money you make.
Yeah, that teaches a lot of drive.
I don't know what else. I'm not good at this stuff, Nick Biddle. You put it into words.
No, well, this is good. I mean, I know I'm putting you on the spot. Do you remember how much you were getting paid?
Well, chopping cotton, we got paid by the row.
By the row?
Yeah.
Yeah, your dad, he's always been a rich farmer, though, hadn't he?
No. And babysitting was by the hour.
Do you remember how much a row you were getting?
No.
I'm sure it was big bucks.
I don't know. Worked so hard. Or I thought we did.
Well, I'm sure you did.
My sisters and I.
Chopping cotton.
And my mom.
I mean, one of the things that always impressed me about your dad, especially when we were dating, he always had new equipment. I'm like, damn, this guy's rich. Trina must be the rich farmer's daughter because he had like new tractors. And
what?
Well, what I found out later was he just takes care of his stuff.
We washed and waxed tractors.
Waxed the tractor.
Every summer. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What'd that teach you?
Oh, it was exhausting. I don't know. Get it done and do it good, because if it's not good enough, you're doing it again.
Do it again. Do it again.
Yeah.
How many kids today getting in the workforce had an opportunity to chop cotton or wax a tractor?
Yeah, probably none.
None.
Yeah.
None. First job I ever had was chopping cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And on the poor side of the farm where we lived. No. But yeah, you know, most of our farms like yours were quarter section, 160 acres.
Yep.
Half mile rows.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was me and my older brother Brandon, and I don't know how old I was, but I was shorter than the hoe. And you know, it's 100 degrees. It's July.
Yes.
It's 100 degrees at least.
Hot. Your water jugs wouldn't even keep a cold.
No. Your water jug was poor.
Mm-hmm.
There was no Yetis.
No Yetis back then.
This was the Gott water jug.
Igloo.
Igloo. But my grandpa, old school. So like, was he born in 1900 or 1901? It was something like that. But I mean, old school, Great Depression kid, mm-hmm. and coming up through the Great Depression. But, you know, he died, wealthy man. He still wore baling wire for a belt. And he had his water jug. And we'd give him a water jug, but he would not use it. But he had a Clorox jug wrapped in a gunny sack that he would dip in the stock tank. And that's what he would carry with him all day. So if you thought your igloo didn't stay cold... Every once in a while, he would hand me that. Here, you want a drink? And I'm like, no, not at all. I do not want a drink. But my water jug's a little better than his. but no, I mean, chopping cotton was the first job that I ever had. I got paid. We didn't get paid by the row. It was by the hour. I think it was $2 an hour.
Yeah.
But you know, every job we had taught us something.
Yeah.
And I tell this story in my workshops, but I will tell them, you know, the 100 degrees during those days, and we had one water jug, and I remember we would chop cotton for a half a mile. And I was telling Brandon, I'm like, we need another water jug because I'm dying of thirst.
I know, you need to keep one at each end.
Right. But yeah. You guys were rich farmers.
No.
We were not. I did not have two water jugs, and Brandon, he just said, swallow your spit, you know. Work faster. I didn't like that answer. But halfway through the first day, I realized if I will move the water jug to the middle of the field, that I will pass it twice.
Look at you, smart.
I tell you, I am a problem solver. but what that taught me was to solve problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, and what I will talk about in my workshops is like, that's what you're paid to do.
Yeah.
You're not paid to make the company money. You're not paid to show up. You're not paid to pull wire or hang duck work or deal with problems. You are paid to solve problems. Mm-hmm. That's what you're paid to do, to solve problems. If you want to become more valuable, solve bigger problems.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of people in the industry right now. They think their value is determined by how big of problems they can identify. And it's like, no, I don't care that you've identified. There's very little value in identifying a problem. The value is in solving the problem. And for me, that's a mindset shift to become a problem solver
mm-hmm.
versus just a victim
yeah.
of whatever environment you're in. But I've had some really wild responses to that question. What's the first job you've ever had? And of course, on the spot, I can't think of any. But you know, one of the jobs a lot of individuals have had was a paper route. And I will ask them, it's like, okay, how old were you? And they're like, I was 9 years old. You know, it's like, how many papers did you throw? It's like 327 papers. I was like, what time did you start? And they're like, I had to get up at 4:15 a.m.
Wow.
And I had to put these papers in a plastic bag because if it was raining, and I had to have the papers right at the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll ask them, and usually these guys are pretty old, so I'll say, man, you're pretty old, you know. And, of course, they're offended. But I said, were you old enough you had to go door-to-door and collect money? And they're like, yeah. You had to go door-to-door and collect money for the paper.
For the paper. Oh.
Yeah, there's no Venmo. You went door-to-door, and you collected money.
Yeah.
And I ask them, what did that teach you? What did it teach you to go door-to-door and collect money? And they'll think for a little while, and they'll be like, man, it taught me how to deal with difficult people. It taught me how to deal with people that want to avoid you. It taught me how to be nice because they got to keep what was left over. But taught them all kinds of stuff. And those skills they use today on their job. I was in Philadelphia one time, and I asked that question to a bunch of electricians. I remember the room I was in, and I remember the guy that said it. But he said, first job I ever had, I was 10 years old, working in my uncle's bowling alley. I said, what were you doing in your uncle's bowling alley? He said, I was setting up pins. This was before
no
they had the
way.
Cage.
Before you know, the cage, yeah.
That would set up the pins. So he's down there with his buddies. And they're setting up pins.
That sounds dangerous.
And I said, what'd that job teach you? And I mean, this guy was serious. I mean, he had a stern look on his face. He said, it taught me two things. I said, what is that? He said, it taught me to hustle.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I could set up pins fast. And he said, it taught me to multitask. He said, I could set up pins and watch. Because he said, you're sitting up setting up pins. And he said, you hear a ball rolling. You don't know if it's coming at you or not. Because, you know, they didn't have the little cage to block
yeah.
the ball.
Oh.
And he said, it taught me hustle because he said on Friday night after three beers, he said, those guys only were going to wait so long to roll, you know. And he said, you ever get your ankles taken out by a 12-pound ball going 20 mile an hour? He said, you find a higher gear. He said, yeah. Man, I could set up pins. But he said, that taught me hustle.
Yeah.
And you think it. Think about some of the individuals entering the workforce right now. They don't have the hustle.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the drive.
Yeah.
That we have. And then I'll ask that group, I'll say, no, so tell me. I mean, when you think about how you lead, when we look at somebody else that we're leading, do we lead them like we're leading ourselves at that same age? And so when I'm talking about this in my workshops, I will ask them, when you think about that individual you're leading, that individual you're frustrated with, maybe that individual on your crew, are you leading them like this is the first job they've ever had in their life? But then I'll ask the audience, I'll ask my guys in the workshop, I'm like, most of us had 2, 3, 5, 7 jobs before we got in this business. Every one of those jobs taught us something that we use today. That we use in our career. But I said, most of the individuals getting in this trade today, what's the first job they ever had? And it's a long pause. And they're like, this one. I said, this one.
Mm.
It's the first job they've ever had in their life. I mean, they're growing up on Starbucks and iPads, playing video games. They didn't chop cotton. They sure didn't have a paper route.
Yeah.
I doubt they set up bowling pins. This is the first job they've ever had in their life. But when we're leading somebody, do we lead them like this is the first job they've ever had in their life? Or do we lead them like we're leading ourselves at that same age? At our age, you know, it's like, well, no one had to teach me this stuff when I was 20 or 24 or 36, but...
It's a deep question.
It's a deep question. Well, I don't know how deep it is, but we don't. I believe we throw our own expectations on someone else.
Absolutely.
It's like, well, I didn't. This is common sense. Well, common sense isn't all that common anymore.
Right.
But common sense was learned through an experience, just through life. And I think we take that for granted. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that leaders make is we don't really look or assess what does this individual I'm leading, what do they know? What are their experiences? What have they been exposed to? And the fact of the matter is we don't ask. We don't ask. We assume, well, God, this person looks like I did 10 years ago. They probably knew what I knew. I was down in Houston working with some plumbers and pipe fitters, and there was an individual there. We were talking about apprentices coming into the industry, and this individual, I won't say his name, but he said, I've got a surefire way to tell if somebody's going to make it in this business. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I'll hand somebody a tape measure, and I'll ask them, how many eighths of an inch are there in an inch? And if they can't tell me that, I won't let them apply for the apprenticeship program. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, I don't think you need a tape measure to do that math. But, you know, there's 8/8 of an inch in an inch. And he said, yesterday I asked 33 guys that question. He said only 3 of them got it right. I said, what happened to the other 30? He said, I didn't let them apply. Oh. And I thought, boy, that's sad. Because, I mean, could a good foreman, I mean a good one, not an average one, but could a good foreman teach somebody how to read a tape measure? I'd hope so.
Yeah.
But do we take the time? How often do we judge somebody because of what they know, what they don't know? How often do we judge somebody because their life experience looks different than ours?
Yeah.
What looks like cruel an unusual punishment to you and me, chopping cotton, waxing tractors, may have been one of the best things that could have happened to us.
Yeah.
But that's just one of the things that I teach, one of the ideas I get across. I think that's foundational because if we as a leader can't realize where we are, how we got where we are. Because none of us figured this out on our own. We all had somebody that kicked us in the butt, chewed our tail, forced us to do something we didn't want to do. And maybe we are that person for somebody else.
Yeah.
And if they didn't have that first job chopping cotton, maybe we're the ones that's got to give it to them. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're the ones that have to sit down and teach somebody what it really takes to be successful in this business.
Yeah. So what's the takeaway?
Well, a lot of the stuff I say doesn't have a takeaway.
No way.
But no, I think the takeaway is let's not judge somebody. Let's not judge somebody by our own experiences, but instead let's do a better job of asking questions.
Yeah, asking questions.
There's a Ted Lasso video out there. It's curious versus judgmental, but let's be a little more curious. Let's ask questions. And when someone doesn't have the experience we're looking for, let's ask ourselves, how do we give them that experience? Can we teach them how to read a tape measure?
Yeah.
Can we teach them that their value is in how big a problem they can solve?
Yes.
Instead of just getting frustrated and wanting to fire them or get somebody else.
Yeah.
Because somebody taught us. And why won't we, and I know it takes time, energy, and money, But why won't we take the time to teach somebody else if they're willing to learn?
Yeah.
If they're not willing to learn, we can't do much with them. But if they're willing to learn and take some time, invest in somebody, might be the best thing you ever do.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Well, that's about all I have. Now, we were talking the other day, and I was told that I need to do a better job on my endings, like this.
You do?
Yeah, take care. They said that that's not working. So I don't, you know, Ron Burgundy tells everybody, stay classy, San Diego.
Oh.
And so maybe I should end with something different. But
okay.
Stay classy, America. I don't know. I'm going to work on that.
You're going to work on that?
You'll come up
with something good.
I will work on it. You'll have to give me some ideas.
So, I'll think about it.
Until I come up with something better.
Okay.
Till next time. Take care.